Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Last time the Kansas Jayhawks were getting this type of attention in college football, our next guest was carrying the rock for the Jayhawks. Brandon McAnderson, Lawrence native, Orange Bowl champ, and just the latest in a long line of tremendous sideline reporter slash pregame show hosts on the Kansas Jayhawk Radio Network, joins us on the show this morning. BMAC, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fine. And look, we got a lot of KU football to talk about. But I also know from having a relationship with you for years and years and years and watching your social media behavior that you are a Raiders fan, BMAC. And I want to know what it was like watching the Raiders, give that game away or let that game slip away. How would you describe what happened to them with the Cardinals yesterday?
I don't know how to describe what happened to them in that game. What I can say as a Raiders fan, it's like being in an escape room in perpetuity. So if you escape one room, you get out and you go to the next room, and Derek Carr is still there. So it wasn't very much fun.
Oh, that's perfect.
So you're not a Derek Carr fan?
No, I think he's a talented person. I think that's obvious, but there's just something about him that his intangibles are suffering, and as a result, I'm suffering.
Well, it was, man, that I thought they were going to cruise to a victory, and I thought the Cardinals were in trouble, but it didn't turn out that way. Hey, BMAC, let's get into the Kansas Jayhawks, though, a much happier topic for you right now. Hey, it felt like being in an escape room, except for you never got out of the first room. As a Kansas fan over the past 10 years, it was like your hope was sucked out of you before the season even had a chance to start. And all of a sudden, this Kansas team is 3-0. And I've been talking with you for a while. I felt like you could see last year through those last three games that not only does Kansas have a head coach and a staff, they have a quarterback. Jalen Daniels, he backed up that performance against Texas with a couple good performances, even though they were in close losses. And they just picked up and kept rolling so far this year. From your perspective, I mean, from the outside, this is obviously shocking to the entire country, the Kansas 3-0, considering the schedule they've had. From your perspective, up close, how surprising is it what KU has done through the first three games this season?
So I would say outwardly, it's very surprising. You know, just because the competition and where they've won the games and just how efficient they've been on offense. As someone that watched a lot of football camp practices, you saw a team that you felt like was going to be better. Now, I've felt like that in the past, too, and, you know, that tree didn't bear any fruit. So it is still surprising, but it's nice to see them, you know, execute the way that they do. They're, you know, they have so much poise. They have so much more depth than they've had in the past. And really, they have Jalen Daniels. And he's just a really special player, and Saturday was a great example of why.
Let's talk about Jalen, Brandon. And this is something we need to credit the previous staff. They're the ones who recruited him, right? But he has stuck through, and he took some lumps a few years ago. He's still not even 20 yet, right? I think he's going to turn 20 next week maybe or something. He's been in college for 3 years. He was 17 years old when he came on campus. But he got hurt a couple of years ago when he was out there playing because he's not real big, but he's transformed a little bit. He's bigger and stronger a little bit now, right? But he is making good decisions with the ball. He's running at the right times. He's making nice passes. How much has this staff helped him develop as a quarterback at this level at this point? Because you saw little glimpses when he first played a couple of years ago, but you're really seeing it come through in flying colors right now.
Yeah, his talent is undeniable. You know, his arm talent has always been undeniable. He's able to snap that ball outside the numbers. I always said the way they do on Sunday, just because he can really put some heat on the ball. He has a great deep ball, great touch. It's how everything has come together. One, his body, he added 20 pounds of muscle. Two, just his ability to make great decisions. And three, just with his legs, good wiggle, breaks tackles, has a knack for the moment. Third and six early in the second half last week. He misreads it. A linebacker blitzes. He pump fakes him, spins, breaks a tackle, gets a huge first down. That's the kind of plays that he just continues to make. He's been a complete pleasure to watch. And this coaching staff deserves a lot of credit on the development part. You know, college football programs can really make young athletes feel expendable. You know, it's always this idea of, well, there's someone else, we can replace you. This coaching staff comes into a team where they're familiar with almost none of the players. You know, they bring in some transfers, and what they did was they invested in each athlete and tried to find a way to make that athlete the best version of themselves. And now you're seeing that a lot of these guys have reached that plateau, and some of them are the same guys. You know, same guys that struggled early in their career, like Jalen, and that have just come around because of the nurturing nature of this coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly why coaching at the college level, I mean, man, you just see it. The coaches, the staffs that bring the best out of their players. The part that you mentioned about Daniels that has, to me, really come forward over the past couple of weeks in particular is all that intangible stuff. Because you mentioned, I mean, you can see, you watch him, you can see a guy that can run, a guy that's got arm talent. There have been some guys that have physical ability that have played quarterback for Kansas over this 10-year walk in the desert. Now, they've been missing maybe some of the coaching and some of the support staff around them, but also just because you have the physical tools doesn't mean you have all of the tools that it takes to play quarterback. This kid seems to have all of those intangibles in terms of the team's been down 14-0 each of the last two games, and he just doesn't seem to flinch at all in these moments. He seems to have the leadership capabilities that everybody on the team wants to follow him. You've been around him closer than guys like me and Todd have. What do you see from him in those areas?
He just looks like, you know, he's about to tee off and play the back nine at Eagle Bend. You know, he just doesn't seem concerned with the surrounding elements. You know, there's been driving rain in two of these road games. Trust me, I've been soaked, you know, the whole first half of both games as the sideline analyst. That doesn't affect him. You know, there'll be moments where the pitch option will be open and it could be a big play, but it's a little fuzzy, so he'll keep it. He'll eat it, maybe get 2 yards instead. His decision-making has been perfect. And he's just this team, I think, has more self-belief than any team I've been around. And it's just different than the other situations I've been in. Their self-belief is about, they know they've done the work, and they know that they trust the processes that this coaching staff has put them through. It's been a real beauty to watch. It's Jalen Daniels as the head of the snake, but it trickles down to a whole lot of these players.
We're talking to Brandon McAnderson. You can hear him on the sidelines of the Jayhawk Network here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 11 o'clock kick on Saturday against Duke, pregame at 9:30. And, Brandon, you were part of the transition with Coach Mangino at the beginning of his tenure at Kansas with growing and getting people to believe, right, and having the school and the community pay attention to Kansas football instead of just Kansas basketball, right? Do you see any similarities with the group of guys who are on this team right now and the group of guys who were there with you in the early stages there as you guys were building up to being a top five program in 2007?
You know, I don't see a ton of similarities. And I think the reason is because they're just doing it a different way. Mm-hmm. The teams that I played for were angry. We had a chip on our shoulder. We felt disrespected at every moment of every day. It was just a different environment. You know, this team is not like that. They're loose. They love each other. They engage with family on the road games in ways that, you know, the coaching staff allows these guys to be themselves. It's a very enrichment-based program, and I think that's what you get when you pull in someone who started at the level that they did as a group. You know, starting at Division III, it just makes you more apt and more prepared for whole person enrichment. So you're not looking at preparing 8 out of your 75 players for the NFL draft. You're you're preparing 75 players for the next step of their lives. And I can see how that approach has already benefited a lot of these guys. They just are men. You know, they don't make mistakes. I think they had two accepted penalties in that game, no turnovers. You know, they've put the ball on the ground. They've recovered it when they have. They're just a sharp group, and I don't see a lot of similarities. I'm just going to be honest with you. It was just different. They are more of a self-belief and love-based program, and that's why they're so easy to root for.
Wow, that's some really interesting stuff. We're talking with Brandon McAnderson right now about these 3-0 Kansas Jayhawks, and I'm trying to get to know the team a little bit better, B-Mac, because, look, there hasn't been a lot of reason, if you're on the outside, to pay close attention to all the names and numbers that are out there, unless you're the sideline reporter or Brian Haney calling the games. And I'm like, okay, I want to learn some of these guys. And especially like when you talk about in the trenches, the offensive and defensive linemen. And this offensive line is producing and performing. I mean, when they get in the red zone, they're running the ball. I feel like I just have all of these plays in my mind so far this year of just pick if it's Highshaw, if it's Neal, if it's Daniels, running untouched into the end zone, which means the offensive line did their job. Is this the type of offensive line that has some dudes that are potential NFL guys and that's why they look so good? Is it an offensive line that just everybody executes at a high level and that's why they look so good? Can you paint the picture for me of what this offensive line is?
So I think the left tackle, Earl Bostic, is a Sunday player. He's just a big, athletic, super senior, 6'7", 310. He can move. He eliminated Houston's big-time pass rusher, Derek Parrish. And also, you know, we talk about the opponent. Houston and West Virginia have really, really good defensive lines that controlled both of the games that they played in prior to playing Kansas. They didn't have any luck against this Jayhawk offensive line. It's a mix of Sunday players, and it's a mix of just grinders. They don't make any mistakes. They move you in double teams. Mike Nowitzki is the captain of the ship. I think the most interesting story is Dominic Pooney, the former Central Missouri Mule. They just have a mix of things that you just could not have predicted is the way I would say it. You know, at right tackle, Cable Dew is strong and athletic. He can get up on backers. Michael Ford Jr. is steady Eddie. He's played two or three different positions. He came over from Buffalo, just is able to get the job done. And they lean on, you know, it's a big group, and they're just really well coached. You know, you see all the motions and the shifts, and this is happening on the road in loud environments. These guys don't have any pre-snap penalties. You know, it's not like they're false starting. It's not like they're misaligned. You know, it's not like they don't have the right a number of people on the line of scrimmage. That offensive line has just been excellent. It seems like they're getting better. I mean, it literally seems like every game since Scott Fuchs has been here, they've gotten better with very little regression. You know, every game they seem to take one more step. And I've been super proud of that group because, you know, the beginning of last year, that's all people wanted to talk about was how bad they were. You know, they can't run the ball. They can't. And a lot of these are the same people. You know, it isn't like they subbed in a bunch of people. These are the same guys. So they deserve credit for developing themselves, and the coaching staff deserves credit for sticking with them. I just think it's a special group.
We're talking to Brandon McAnderson. He's a sideline reporter for the Jayhawk Network, and I do think that's a cool part of it, the guys who stuck around, because in today's college football world, you could get transferred in over, you know, they go get someone else to play for you. You can transfer out yourself because you're not happy because you haven't won any games. You know what I mean? Keeping the group together is difficult. One of the guys who is a beneficiary of that line, I think, is an interesting guy to talk to you about, and that's Devin Neal, because he's a local kid, right? He's a Lawrence kid and highly recruited, two sports star. I got a buddy who's deeply involved in like amateur baseball and stuff, and he says, this running back at Kansas is a great baseball player, and he's playing such good football. Baseball may not be in his future, right? Because he's going so well.
You're right.
What has he shown you here as he's stuck through it too, right? I mean, playing for this team and wanting to stay home and play at KU, what has he shown you, and what's the ceiling for this young man?
Well, he's another 19-year-old. You know, he just turned 19 recently. He's in his second season. You know, he also, though, he cares so much about this place and is such a leader on the program because of where he comes from and just how much he cares about having the opportunity to put that Jayhawk on the side of his helmet. People respond to him. You know, he's just He doesn't act like a young player. They don't treat him like a young player. He's a leader. And his skill level and talent is as good as you could ever want. You know, 6'2", 210 He has wiggle. He can break tackles. He has great hands. He's been incredibly efficient. You know, Houston ended up, you know, really committing to taking him away in the zone read game, and Jalen Daniels burned him when they did and ended up with 100 yards himself. So there was a clear focus on him, so he didn't have the productivity, but he still had the same kind of stuff, ball security, you know, getting 3 yards when he should have gotten one, you know, keeping them on schedule and giving them opportunities to execute later on in drives. He's just been a super important player, and you'll continue to see him elevate.
B-Mac, the defense, the way I described this Kansas team to Todd earlier, when I've watched every game so far, the offense is clearly a very good offense. You know, where it ranks in college football, once they start playing the likes of Oklahoma and Texas and all that, we'll see. But it's obviously a very good offense. Like you said, they played good defensive fronts here the last couple games, and they put up numbers, points and yards. Defensively, they seem like they've been kind of opportunistic. You know, they make enough big plays to maybe flip the scoreboard a little bit. They got 4 sacks in this game, and they got a big pick. I want to talk about the sacks, because they went out, they got some transfers. Lonnie Phelps was the big name, but he's not the only one getting after the quarterback. How are they getting this pressure on the quarterback, and how sustainable is that?
That was my favorite part of the team coming in. Is that defensive line. I feel like they have 12 different starters. They can rotate that group and have almost no drop-off. It's really been amazing that it's one thing to become a successful team early in the season because, you know, you brought in transfers and your quarterback's had a good season. But I don't know how they built depth so fast. I mean, that transfer portal was huge for this team and building depth all over the field. The defensive line especially has benefited from that, but some of these guys were here last year and have just simply got better. Jeremy Robinson's a young player. He's in his third year. He's a star, and he doesn't even start. You know, he had the sack fumble that kind of broke the game open. He's a star. He'd be starting for any school he was at, and he's just a rotational player here, and they love being rotational players here. These guys come in, and we're able to throw fresh bodies and hockey sub all 4 positions. And the beauty of it is it's not just the older guys. You know, Sam Burt and Caleb Sampson are the old vets. These guys are 5- and 6-year players, so they stabilize everything inside as well as Malcolm Lee on the outside. But Lonnie Phelps brings all the electricity. You got young players like DJ Withers and, you know, Tommy Dunn Jr. And then you mix in Eddie Wilson, a Buffalo transfer from the Detroit area. And Zion DeBose, a transfer from Virginia Tech. Hayden Hatcher, a transfer from Iowa Community College. It's not like they went out and got, you know, 100 5-stars. But what they did have is they have so much collective involvement on both sides of the ball. It's insane. You know, Jalen Daniels completed passes to 11 different players in that game. And then if you look at the defensive line, it's another example of a team that's playing like 10 people. So they don't have any malcontents, because everybody has a hand in the process. And I think that speaks to that enrichment approach. They are just not looking at these young athletes as expendable in any way. They're trying to maximize them. So that's what you're seeing early in the season.
Brandon McAnderson is our guest. And the Jayhawks are 3-0, okay? And the Jayhawks haven't won more than 3 games since 2009, right?
Right.
So this is something that's happening right now. So fans are like, oh, we've already won 3 games. You start thinking about, oh, 6 games, bowl game, all that kind of stuff. The coaching staff will not allow that to happen. This group, while they're new to Division I Power 5 football here at Kansas, only been here for 15 months or whatever it is, they're very experienced, and they've worked together for a long time. What do you like about this staff that's going to keep this group of kids who are having a great start to the season level-headed and make sure that they don't start planning bowl trips in September?
Everything. You know, you talked to them last year. You know, there were games where they really got beat up on. There were games where they competed well, like the OU. You know, games they won, like Texas. The messaging was the same. We're going to keep getting better. We're going to get 1% better. Their strength and conditioning program led by Matt Gildersleeve is incredible. You know, that guy will keep them accountable in every way, literally every way imaginable. They calculate everything. They make sure that they're doing the right things for the right reasons. So I don't have any concerns with that. And then Coach Leipold, he's not a salesman. You know, he's a football coach. You talk to him, you don't feel like he's trying to sell you on anything. And I think the players that he recruits feel that as well. He's just someone that's grinding, and he's at work, and he loves what he's doing. And that just trickles down through all the staff. This is just in college football, the staff that I played for, a lot of them were focused on what's going to happen next. And for good reason, you know how these environments are dynamic. So you're wondering, can I protect my job? There's none of that on the staff. And it's kind of the benefit of having them be together for so long that I am sure that they have those aspirations that every other coaching staff has, but they're just very present here. They aren't looking to what's next. So if your staff isn't looking to what's next, your players aren't looking to what's next. They're not looking at game 9 and thinking we could be 6-3 and be in a bowl game. They're looking at we played a game this Saturday against Duke and we got to try to find a way to win it. So they're just very present, and it helps the players stay very present. And I have been, you know, the success, the short success that they've experienced so far, there's been no change in the messaging. There's been no change in execution. If anything, it's just more confidence. But they're committed to process because it's working. And if you've been in environments where the processes you've tried haven't worked, and then you come in, you have this new staff say, this is the way to do it, and the tree starts to bear fruit. You saw last year the 3 close games with the 1 win. This year with the 3 wins. Why would you not commit to the process when you know you're finally in a process that's working?
Well, it's certainly a process that's been fun to watch for Kansas fans, and now the next step comes on Saturday against Duke. Have you had a chance to look much into Duke yet? I know you'll get into your prep as the week goes on. I watched a little bit of their game against Temple that they won 30-0. There's a Burns kid from Kansas City that's goes to that ties into all my buddies from the KCK area that I grew up with that's playing out there. But you know much about Duke yet?
Not a whole lot. I know that they've been up 21-0 in all 3 of their games. They're a strong defensive group. I think they're going to come in and present a lot of challenges. They're kind of riding a similar wave, you know, benefiting from a coaching change, starting to play better on defense, which, you know, under the previous regime, that was more of an offensive, you know, throw the ball all over the field kind of team. So they're changing mentalities, and you can see them kind of feeling good about the success that they're having. What I will say, though, is as a Kansas fan, there is so much going on with this team. I mean, there's so many new players. There's so many new faces, so many great personalities. Double down and invest in getting to know this team because it will be worth it. There's no miracle that this team needs to perform to win games. You know, there's no, you know, it's not about luck anymore. It's a lot about execution. Celebrate this team. Focus on what we got going on because I think Duke is going to present some challenges as well as a lot of other teams in the Big 12. But I feel really good about Kansas and what they're doing and being excited about what wrinkles they'll have for the game and what kind of things you'll see from some big-time performances.
Brandon, what kind of buzz are you feeling in Lawrence, right? It's an early start, right? People fired up. You expecting a bigger crowd. I mean, you know what it's like to play. It's more fun to play in front of 50,000, you know, camped out on the hill and everywhere in the world over there than it is in front of 20-some or whatever. You getting a buzz around town that people are going to come out for this one. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful Saturday, and they're fired up about this football team because that helps players as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that was one of my favorite things, coming in for those morning games, you know, seeing the stands full of blue everywhere you look. I think there's a really good opportunity that we're going to see that this Saturday, and this team deserves it. You know, our fan base has been one that, you know, people pick up for different reasons of success of our basketball program in contrast with, oh, do you guys really support football and yada, yada, yada. Well, football is like family for me. I care about this a lot, and I can see that our fan base has wanted to care about it a lot but couldn't invest in the ways that they had hoped because it was hard to watch. But now you have a watchable product. Now you have an easy team to support. There should be no questions about how full that place is. There shouldn't be an empty seat anywhere. These kids have come out and earned it and asked very little of our fan base. And that's something that also is in contrast to what's happened in the past. You know, we've had coaches come out and say, get out here and support these guys. They deserve it, and didn't give them a reason to get out there and support these guys. These guys opened the season winning 2 of 3 on the road against some really good competition, a team that was a preseason darling to, you know, finish in the playoff as a non-major Power 5 team was Houston. And going in there and beating up on them, this team deserves your support. Get out there to the booth on Saturday.
Amen to that, B-Mac, no doubt about it. Hey, this is great stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy. I hope you get a sun-soaked, beautiful day.
No
on
hail.
The sideline. Yeah. Because you've been put through it from a condition standpoint so far.
Yeah, it has been more rain than I've had in the previous 2 years, just in the previous two games. But I'll get rained on all day if I get to watch Jalen Daniels and company go to work.
There you go. Hey, B-Mac, thanks for the time, man, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
And I will echo exactly what Brandon McAnderson is saying there, Todd. Some Kansas fans and previous coaches that were and people in the athletics department that were frustrated with me the last few years because they would say these types of things, exactly what Brandon just said. The fans need to come out and support this team. You know, they can't get it turned around if they don't get some support from the fans. And I said, no, that's not how it works. You're the ones getting paid.
Right.
They're the ones paying money. The fans don't owe you anything. They don't. You owe them a compelling reason to spend their hard-earned money to come watch you play. You can't just rely on the world. You got to support your old university. No, you guys ask enough of them financially and time-wise. It's a time commitment to go to football games and baseball games and basketball games and all this stuff.
And you've spent X amount of millions of dollars to fire the previous coach.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man.
And so you're getting paid handsomely to give these people a compelling reason to come. Well, guess what Lance Leipold and the Jayhawks are doing
Giving a reason.
They're giving you a compelling reason. I bet you there's going to be a really good crowd at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. Will it be the same type of crowd you get at Alabama? Well, they've been winning at Alabama for decades. You know, like, it's not fair to try to sit there also and say that every KU fan should now drop their entire fall plans and go out there. It doesn't work that way either. You got to win for a while before you get everybody on board. But I'll tell you this, every Jayhawk fan I talk to is paying attention now. And, like, for me, the last few years, I knew the quarterback's name, the running back's name, maybe a couple wide receivers. But there wasn't it wasn't worth your time and emotional investment to research all the different guys on the roster. Now, all of a sudden, I find myself looking at the guys on the offensive line, go, okay, where'd we get that guy? Where'd this guy come from?
Yeah, they're worth paying attention to and researching. And it's just a different feel. And, you know, listen, I love college football. I love college basketball as well. But there's no reason you can't have fun on Saturdays and on Big Monday. I mean, it's okay. You can do it all. And Kansas did it all for a few years. You remember how fun that was, like when Brandon McAnderson was playing, how much fun it was to like the Jayhawks because they were in competition to play well. And listen, it's okay to not go to the Orange Bowl, okay? I mean, it's fine. But just to be in the bowl hunt and have a freaking fun time on Saturday watching football with, you know, 45, 50,000 of your friends and also, you know, kicking people's butt on Big Monday. It's all good. Do it all. Don't just say it's fine to have one or the other. And I think Kansas has it right here. Now, we got to see. I like Lance Leipold and this staff, and I don't think they're about trying to go find the next job. I really don't. I don't think that. But we've already seen Lance Leipold's name. He already had to get asked last week about Nebraska because Nebraska fired Scott Frost. And, you know, if you keep winning games, you're just going to get in that conversation more. I mean, the only way to not be in that conversation is to lose. So they'd rather win and get in that conversation. But I don't think they're kind of about that pit. But it'd be a great problem for Kansas to have if they were.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Lance Leipold's the kind of guy that's out there sniffing around at every job that comes open right now. Here's the thing about him. He doesn't have to. They're all going to be calling him. You know, I mean, like, when you – and that's the thing that it goes back to what we're talking about. If you go out and play well and win games, you don't have to beg people to come to your games and lean on their loyalty to support you to get you to win. You go win games, and then people start showing up, you know, and that's what he's doing. Same type of thing. If you actually go out and do your job and win a bunch of football games in a place like Kansas, you don't have to sniff around for jobs. They come calling you, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, like it or not, if you're a Kansas fan – if you don't think that big schools are paying attention to what he's doing at Kansas, and that he's gonna that they're gonna come calling. You know, you're living in a fantasy world. Now, I don't think he's a job hopper, but at the same time, if somebody's going to offer him $7 million a year to coach at a big program that packs a 70, 80,000 seat stadium every weekend, even when they're bad, what are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be the kind of guy that says, you know what? I'm building something special at a place where I could have a legacy for that lasts well beyond my living days. And I, you know, and we've seen coaches around here do that. Bill Snyder clearly made that decision at Kansas State. I've got something here, and it's special, and it's mine, and nobody else could have done what I did here, and this is where I'm going to stay. And maybe he'll be one of those guys. Only time will tell, but I'm not going to begrudge him or anybody else if, look, it's going to happen. People are going to call him. That's just the reality. I hope they can hold on to him. I think it was smart by Travis Goff. Obviously, he made an incredible Grand Slam hire. I think that's already been proven. He made an incredibly good hire. And he signed him to a contract extension early this year that hopefully makes it a little bit harder for somebody else to try to come snatch him up. And hopefully Kansas can have this guy for a while, because I don't think this team's going to I think the days of embarrassing football at Kansas are over as long as he's the head coach.
Well,
I think we can already say that.
And here's the thing. Right. Who has gone and hired a coach from Kansas in the last 10 years? Nobody wanted one of them. So you'd rather have a guy who someone wants to come hire. I mean, there's been no other job for the next guy. They get fired. And, you know, Turner Gill's gotten a job as a head coach, but he didn't get plucked away.
Nobody's moved up from Kansas.
It has not been a stepping stone. No, I don't want to be a stepping stone university. Right now you'd take that. You know, you want wins, and you want someone to come want your coach, and they're doing a great job. Listen, and let's cool it all down. They're 3-0. Okay, don't plan the bowl trips yet. Don't do those things. Go watch them play. Enjoy them, because it is fun. It's the best September they've had in over a decade. So enjoy it and hope it gets better.
I think they're going to at least win one more game this year.
I think you're right.
and if you had told me before the season they're going to go win four games, and they're going to get a road conference win, and they're going to beat Houston, I mean, it's like they've already surpassed, I think, most KU fans' expectations in their three games into the season. So yeah, I'm not declaring them Big 12 contenders or anything like that, but I am declaring that they got a coach and they got a quarterback, and I think that for KU fans, it's been a long, long time since you can say that. So our thanks to Brandon McAnderson for joining us. We'll talk more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, it was not a good effort out there today. It was not good. You know, we'll go back and look at the film, evaluate it play by play, evaluate the schemes. We'll evaluate the schemes. We'll evaluate everything. Evaluate play, schemes, everything, top to bottom.
It's all about how you respond. You know, when you get up off the floor, it happens in this league. There's good players across the board. Every week is going to be tough. It happens to you sometimes. But one can't turn into two, you know, and you have to, you know, pick yourself back up, have a great week of preparation, make sure we have a better performance next week.
Smell, well, something stinks in Indianapolis, and it's their football team, huh?
Well, you can't let one turn into two. They just let a half turn into one, right? I don't know. They tied, right? So they played poorly and tied against Houston, and they let that turn into just a stinker against Jacksonville. Jags are in top of that that division at 1-1 because they beat the Colts. And the Texans are 0-1-1, and the Colts are 0-1-1, and the Titans are 0-1, and they got Buffalo tonight. That does not look like a great division. Now, here's the good part. Chiefs play that division, right? So there you go. They'll start that this Sunday with the Colts on the road, which is probably an unhappy bunch of fans watching them up there.
Remember when the Colts came and played the Chiefs in the playoffs, and the Colts were the team on the come up with an awesome offensive line and a core
And Andrew Luck.
Linebacker position, and Andrew Luck, and now Jonathan Taylor, the best running back in the NFL. By the way, 9 carries for 54 yards for Jonathan Taylor. Mm. Matt Ryan went 16 for 30, 195 yards, no touchdowns, 3 picks.
You know, Andrew Luck is supposed to still be their quarterback, right? But he got so beaten and battered that he just said, I don't want to do this. Tom Brady is 45 years old and still out there playing, right? Or he's 44, not 45. Aaron Rodgers is 38. And Matt Ryan's not some kid either. Andrew Luck was supposed to be their guy for the next 10 more years after that. And he said, nah, I'm out on this thing. He is only 33 years old, Andrew Luck, and he just turned 33 last week. He's supposed to be in the prime of his career. It's an amazing thing that that franchise has gone through since he said, nah, I can't do this anymore. Because you know how hard it is to find the quarterback. So they've gone Phillip Rivers, right? And now Matt Ryan. They're just trying to find that dude to kind of hold it together. And they deserve this because they did get Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck in the draft, okay? So they deserve a little let's go scrounge and try to find a guy, which makes you so happy every time you realize that Patrick Mahomes, knock wood, is healthy and young and under contract with the Chiefs, because it's the hardest thing to find, man.
Okay, so since I'm a newbie at this betting thing, DraftKings Sportsbook, by the way, I've been just putting a little bit down on some college games on the weekends, and I've done really well there. And then NFL games, and I feel like I'm around 50-50 there, you know, because I just find these NFL games to be so difficult. You know, the games all are close for the most part. They turn on the slightest thing. I mean, like, for example, had the Bears last night to cover the number 10, which might seem stupid. But if the referees decide that on that replay, on what I think was a touchdown, even though it was a bizarre call by the Bears to go shotgun from fourth and goal inches away from the goal line, I think it was a touchdown, but they didn't call it a touchdown. That's the difference between covering and not covering, right? Like in the NFL. So I get it. Like the NFL's tough, and I'm learning about, you know, like I've always kind of paid attention to the lines, but you pay a little closer attention when you got something riding on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So help me understand this. That Colts team that you just watched yesterday and the Chiefs team that you have watched the first 2 weekends of this season, they're not even favored by a touchdown going into this. And I know it's in Indianapolis, but, you know, they played in Arizona too, right? What other than this is the NFL tells you that this should be a one-score game?
That's the only thing I can think of is this is the NFL. That's it. I mean, I guess it's the Colts' first home game. This looks like, for me, that the Colts aren't anywhere near in the class right now of the Chiefs, and even close. So if the Chiefs don't turn the ball over a whole bunch or something weird happens, I don't know how they don't go in here and win this game easy. But it is the NFL, as you said. You just have these weird games where you're like, I don't understand this. I mean, the Jets are awful, blah, 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 and they're gonna get roasted. Well, they outright won yesterday. Now, it took an onside kick and all that stuff, but they went and did that. And the Jags we know the Jags aren't very good, but they got a new coach, and they just shut someone out in their division, right? So I don't know, man. Gambling is fun, and as I've enjoyed it as well, gambling on both pro and college. And as someone who had the Packers last night, I thought the referees did the exact right thing, and I was so happy that Matt Eberflus learned as the defensive coordinator at Mizzou to run everything out of shotgun, even when it's a Chase Daniel sneak.
Are you kidding me?
Used to be the biggest complaint about Missouri football back in the day too. It's like, it's fourth and one. Why is Chase Daniel in a shotgun? But that's how close these games are, especially. We're not talking about winning or losing. We're talking about gambling now. But think about the winning and losing ones from yesterday. This insanity of the Raiders-Cardinals game, I think they put the clock on it. The first two-point conversion that Kyler Murray converted, he ran for like 20 seconds. He ran 88 yards to get a two-point conversion. And that was just to get it to within eight. And then they got the ball back and then tied it and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And the Jets converted an onside kick. And the onside kick conversion percentage, when they know it's coming, is like nothing. It's horrible. And they were able to find a way to do that. It's just crazy, man. It's so much fun. And I have enjoyed. You should do all this responsibly. Don't go betting a bunch of money. You don't have Marco. He's already looking at lines. He's got lines for this week. He's like, I don't understand.
I'm a little worried about Marco. I mean, you know, I decided to have, like, I'm a very low investment gambler because I just hate losing my money. But I decided to have like one game each time slot yesterday just to have a rooting interest. Marco, are we doing all right there? You start texting us about some parlays and some games, and I'm like, wow, you're going to be invested in this one now, huh?
I'm doing fine. My head's back above water after a successful 11-3 Saturday in the college football world. NFL kicked my butt yesterday, but Arizona money line live bet at +1300 and going heavy on Packers.
Maybe you should stick to Saturdays. I don't know.
Well, you know, usually I'd be working Sundays.
Well,
so
he's checking the high school lines right now. So
that's
he,
right.
He says during the break, Nate, he goes, what do you think about this Iowa and Rutgers total? I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't think about it. I have zero thoughts. I don't think about that.
He's like, Rutgers, come on now. They should be doing this. I'm like, do you know anything about Rutgers? But it's fun. It is fun. And the leagues are fun. College football has always been crazy fun. But yesterday, we talked about it earlier. Dude, Red Zone was on fire yesterday. They couldn't keep up. There were so many things going down, and it's the league is great, the product is great, and the way they package it and give it to you is outstanding, and I'm excited. Now, this Sunday, from noon to 3, it's locked and loaded on the Chiefs, right? And hopefully by, the witching hour is what they call it on Red Zone. Hopefully the Chiefs game won't be a part of any drama, so you can concentrate on the messy stuff that happens from 2:30 to 3:15 everywhere else around the country.
You know, looking at all the lines yesterday, there were double. I mean, that's why I went Bears, because I just feel like, boy, you get to a double digit spread in the NFL and almost anybody can cover it. And like I said, if the refs had done their job,
I think they called that right.
If they had any guts at all, that was clearly a touchdown. But
they were just punishing the Bears for doing a dumb thing.
Well, possibly they should. They did deserve that. Like, how are you going to go from the shotgun? But I think they had an easy out there. Well, it's not clear and obvious, not conclusive. You know, so that's why they did it. But so it wasn't that far off from the Bears. But like same thing, I took the Texans over the Broncos. I mean, the 10 points is a lot in the NFL. How in the world are if the Broncos are given 10 points away, if the Packers team that looks so terrible in week one, what about the Chiefs and Colts has told you that's a one score game? Hey, we'll see. And again, everybody's taught me, and I knew this for a long time. If you think that there's something crazy about a line, you need to ask more questions, because obviously they don't build those big casinos for no reason. But that one stands out to me. I'm looking at the other games in the witching hour on the noon games on Saturday. There's some good ones. By the way, the Bills and Dolphins are playing at noon on Sunday. That could be a fascinating game, a fascinating game. You get the Lions and Vikings, the Ravens and Patriots. All of a sudden, the Bengals-Jets is interesting because the Bengals have lost to two quarterbacks that nobody's heard of in week one and week two. So, yeah, the witching hour should be good. Well, at noon and then in the noon window on Sunday, and hopefully not because the Chiefs are involved, hopefully because the Chiefs are walking away in that game. We shall see. Hey, a guy that I saw on Saturday who got honored with his own framed jersey for his amazing career in Kansas City, Gary Lezak at the Sporting Game, who also sent me a hell of a video as well, will be joining us next with a weather forecast right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thank you.
So I'm broadcasting the Sporting Kansas City game Saturday night, and it's already an emotional night for me because Saturday night was the last night of our local Sporting KC television broadcasts at Children's Mercy Park. We have one more away game to do, but then, of course, everything's going to Apple TV, and MLS is going to take over the broadcast on television for all the games. So it's the last time working with that local crew inside the stadium, so I'm already emotional. And then I look out on the field, and there's Gary Lezak with a framed Lezak jersey getting honored for his amazing broadcasting career, one of my favorite people. Then I look down at my phone, and there is a video sent to me with two of my favorite humans on planet Earth. And this is the video. This is what was on the video.
With Gary Lezak here, it's Matt Beisler. There are thunderstorms to the west. They are headed our way. Stay tuned for this man. He'll fill you in.
And how often do I come to a game?
Never, but okay. We're up 3-0.
3-0!
Yeah, he's got to come to every
come
game.
Come on, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, whatever you want to say.
Let's go.
Matt Beisler. Nate Bucati, eat your heart out.
How am I supposed to focus and broadcast a game under these circumstances, Gary Lezak?
Amazing. You know, it was quite an honor to be out there, to be honored before the game and to get that jersey. And it was emotional, and it was just a great experience. And then to bump into Matt Beisler and get that video and to share it with you. So that's a pretty awesome video there. But it was great. Matt Beisler's the best, isn't he? He's the best.
He's incredible.
You don't have to tell Nate that.
Yep. that is a man preaching to the choir right there. We have like super hot weather for the next couple days, but then all of a sudden fall's going to hit like literally right when fall hits.
It's been very cold in Nebraska. Lebo, Boomer.
Sooner.
How about that beatdown of Nebraska?
Loved it. Every second of it. Except the very beginning.
That was one where I was kicking myself because I remember thinking when I saw that line, I was like, oh, God, how in the world is Nebraska not, you know, how is Oklahoma not like a three-touchdown favorite in this game?
It started kind of like I thought it was going to go, that there would be a lot of emotion, and Nebraska came out and they were really good. I didn't know that Oklahoma was going to be able to just make adjustments and throttle their putrid offense and hold them to nothing until the very end of the game. It was beautiful to see. Beautiful to see. They had let's talk Oklahoma, Nebraska, Nate. I know you want to do this a lot. But they had not had a lot of success up there in Lincoln. They don't play there, obviously, in a long time since Nebraska left. But the last time they were up there and played a game, Landry Jones had 5 turnovers himself, I believe. And they lost, I think they lost 10-3 on a Saturday night and outgained Nebraska by, like, I don't know how many yards. But that was the rough Landry Jones when he would just turn the ball over and over and over again. So it was nice to see an empty Memorial Stadium in the fourth quarter. I enjoyed that very much.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. You know, beating Nebraska just feels great. Amazing. So weather-wise, yes, guys, we have some heat. Record high today, 95 degrees, set back in 1954. It's going to be 96 today. Yesterday, we tied the record with a high of 96. And tomorrow, 97. What is going on? Well, there's a cold front due in Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night. Temperatures will be dropping Thursday, the lower to middle 60s. So about a 30-degree drop comes our way on Thursday. And Thursday happens to be the first day of fall. So perfectly timed. And just not much rain. We continue to be in a dry pattern here in Kansas City. It's not dry in the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, where 20 inches of rain just fell from Hurricane Fiona. That is moving over the Dominican Republic, by the way. It'll become a major hurricane over the open waters of the Atlantic Ocean and not have any threat to the United States. So the quiet hurricane season for us continues. But out there, it's a little noisy this morning. But here in Kansas City, just beautiful, gorgeous weather. I've got 3 dad jokes. You ready?
Nick? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a statement. You ready, Lebo? Here we go. The only thing flat earthers have to fear is fear itself.
I get it.
That's not great.
Not great. Okay. If the internet had a boat, where would they park it?
Where?
Google Docs.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Come on.
That's fine.
Okay. Here's one good one. One good one. Ready? I'll leave it a line drive to left field with four bases. Somebody should market a beer called Occasionally. So, when asked, I can say, I only drink occasionally.
Yeah, that's like that bar down in Austin, Texas called The Library.
Yeah, where you been? You know, library.
So, no, I've been down to The Library. So my mom sent me one for you, Gary.
Okay.
It was a mom joke.
A duck, a skunk, and a deer went into a restaurant.
Uh-oh.
When it came time to pay, the skunk didn't have a cent. The deer didn't have a buck. So they put the meal on the duck's bill.
Ah!
Oh!
That's like a triple dad joke in one, you know? That's a mom joke.
Nate's mother wins the day, Gary. Yeah. You lose.
I lose. That's the mom joke of the day.
Yep.
Much better.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. I love that. Nate, I need you to send that one to me.
All right.
You can't remember? He just said it.
It's on your. It's on its way.
No, Gary's not listening. I understand.
I'll just have my mom directly text these to you from now on.
That's easier.
Okay. I love it. That sounds like a deal. Have a good day, guys.
Boomer.
Sooner.
That's how we talk to each other, Nate. That's good. You like that?
Ha!
No? You don't like that?
Marco just signed him off there. What's the deal there, Marco?
I didn't mean to have that in audition. I thought I was just talking to the phone line. I didn't know you could hear that.
No, I dropped him. I pushed the button here.
I thought that was on the air. I thought Marco just push-broomed Gary off the air. We'll take a break. We'll have Adam Teicher on with us next to talk some Chiefs.